Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And if it is the fourth Tuesday from 2 to 3, it must be Money Management, Wounded Hearts, and Family Crises, starring Larry Muscat. Larry, how are you? I think you're under the weather a little bit.
Picked up a little something, Dave, but I'm hanging in.
Oh,
I'm
good. Hanging in. Where'd you pick it up? That's what I want to know. Was it Las Vegas? Was it San Diego?
It couldn't have been anywhere fun. I can guarantee you that.
Wow, Las Vegas is fun, though.
Oh, Las Vegas is the best. I've just not been there.
Oh, darn. Anyway, I hope you feel better.
Thank you. You're
always a professional. You're going to do great. And you have a great guest today as well. This is going to be really interesting.
Have a super guest today.
No doubt about it.
Okay.
So, our IIA, of course, that's your company.
Yes,
and
it is.
So important, no doubt. And I love the name of your show, Money Management, Wounded Hearts, and Family Crises. So many people are having this crisis right now.
It's rampant.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere, and it comes in so many shapes and colors that it's hard to get your arms around. The real problem is when, Dave, you've got to combine these life crises, losing a job, losing a loved one, becoming a caregiver unexpectedly or something like that. The problem is these are always connected with financial decisions, and that's the type of financial counseling our firm provides. It's financial counseling when there's an abundance of stress in the situation, and that has the effect of distorting our thinking, distorting our ability to make good judgments. And that's what we help our clients do, sift through those types of emotions and information so they work well.
And you have the perfect background for that. Not only are you a financial planner, your other life was in psychology. What a unique combination that is.
It was actually, although I didn't know it in my first life, it was actually an excellent preparation for working in the financial industry because working in the financial industry is about 95% emotion and 5% technical money types of things. That's where we make our decisions. We make them at emotional levels. We justify them intellectually with information. And I just thought, as you said, I thought that was a good combination, a good way to deliver valuable services to clients stressed out.
Wow, that's excellent. And I'm going to say it right here. People will be blessed to have you as their advisor, because very few have that gift to see beyond the numbers, and that's what makes you unique.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
Bachelor number one. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. That's the wrong show.
That's your other show, Dave.
That's a match, no match, or a dating show. I forgot.
I forget what that
Although
was,
your guest looked up real quick and goes, wait, where's the girl? Where's the girl?
That's right. I'll tell you what I'd like to do, though.
Dave,
I'd like to introduce our guest because we really want to get some mileage out of today's show. Today's show is really important because it addresses what I think is one of the most talked about, misunderstood, divisive issues of our time. And there's no shortage of those to begin with, but I think this one sits at the head of the class. Today we have with us an employee benefits advisor by the name of Blaise Byrne, and I've actually known Blaise for over 20 years. I know not only the quality of his work, but the caliber of his information and his service, and it's absolutely fantastic. So we're very fortunate today to get an hour of his time to have him on the show. And what we're going to focus on today, and let me not forget to say the organization that Blaise works with. Blaise works with Arizona Benefits Consultants, a large North Phoenix-based employee benefits provider and consulting firm. They work with businesses, with healthcare, insurance, and other forms of employee benefits. And Blaise is just among the experts in this area. And as I said, we're really fortunate to have Blaise here today with us. Blaise, let me say welcome and thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Larry. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Well, we've got to talk about health care, and we've got to begin to get our arms around this. And I don't think, Dave, you or I, or almost anyone out there, can begin to make sense of the multi-thousand-page document that is driving this change in the landscape of healthcare in our country. And today I hope we're going to make some progress in getting some information under our belts, getting some expectations in mind about what we need to be thinking on, what we might be needing to plan to do, and that's where Blaze is going to help us out a little bit today. I do want to remind our listeners that we're a call-in show as well. Yeah. And if you have a question about the upcoming changes in healthcare, the laws, the rules, the services, or anything related to this topic, give us a call. The phone number is 602-296-3632. Let me repeat that. 602-296-3632. Pick up the phone, give us a call. Ask us your questions on healthcare, and we'll do the very best to answer. Actually, our guest, Blaze Byrne from Arizona Benefits Consultants, will do his very best because he is the expert in this area, and we're here to learn just like all of our listeners are today. Let's kind of kick off, if we can, Blaze. And as I kind of introduced in the beginning, I said you can't barely turn around these days without the subject of healthcare. And the changes we can be expecting coming up are being talked about. People are fundamentally uninformed. I think they're scared. I don't think they really know what to do or what to expect at this point. This upcoming implementation of Obamacare is a mystery to most people. And I wonder, in general terms, could you give us a sense of generally, what these upcoming changes might look like for the average consumer, what things consumers ought to be looking at and doing right now, if anything, to prepare for these changes?
Well, there is a lot of fear and misunderstanding, I believe, out there that I've seen talking to my clients and just, you know, people in general, friends and acquaintances. As everybody knows, I might just give a quick little history of, you know, the healthcare reform. We have the timeline. In September 23rd, 2010, is when this law was signed into to law. And at that point, you know, it's a 3,000 to 4,000 page document. A lot of people had read some of it, but it also entailed a lot of, you know, legislative changes along the way. But initially. Okay. Sorry, we had a little background noise there.
It
began in 2011, and then through 2012, they started some of the mandates that were in the law, which were pretty popular things, actually, such as unlimited benefits. In other words, they used to have maximums, maybe $1 to $5 million on your health insurance. Now, with the health care reform bill, you had no limits on that. And then also you could continue to have your children on to age 26, whether, you know, they were married or at home or not, didn't really matter. They just had loosened up a lot of those regulations, which, you know, a lot of kids that, you know, would have been without coverage were able to get coverage. So that was obviously a good thing. Not a big expense to the insurance carriers either, so it didn't impact rates dramatically at that point. They're, you know, maybe 1 to 2%. And also unlimited wellness care with no copay was implemented during that time as well. Not a lot of changes to health insurance companies the way they were doing business at that time until 2011 through 2012. They were mandated to have to spend 80% of what they took in revenue on claims, and if they did not, then they were required to refund this money to the employers and employees. You know, the employees got some of the money back if they were contributing to their health care, like payroll deduction and such. So Actually, on individual plans as well. I know Blue Cross Blue Shield, for example, had they had to reimburse over $200 million.
Wow. Yeah. Actually, wow. I have Blue Cross, and I did get a check, and I go, oh, look at this.
Right.
Pretty
right.
cool. Yeah, that was a good benefit.
Right. So what it did is it required, the insurance companies to do, as I said, to pay out 80% in benefits, the other 20% for administration costs, paying guys like me,
yeah.
which has impacted our that part of the business at being a consultant. Our fees were reduced, our commissions were reduced as well. So, it's all impacted in this bill. A lot of people are impacted, the insurance companies, the guys like me, the consultants, and, the consumers of healthcare.
Blaze, I guess as you're speaking about the advent of these new rules, these laws, what's going to change, the question occurs to me, it's been asked a million times in one form or another, is the reason for this new law the fact that our healthcare system was in fact broken? Was it broken?
In my opinion,
No.
I don't think it was broken. Mm-hmm. I think this bill, this is my opinion more than it is, because another person would have a different opinion of it. I believe our healthcare system was, and I believe it is the best in the world, and you have a lot of people that would disagree with that. However, it had gotten very expensive. There's no doubt about that. So this bill, however, in my opinion, did zero to deal with the cost problem, very little to do with the cost problem, and it really had a lot more to do with the access problem.
Okay.
So I think that this bill, the intention of it was, the best intention of it was to, have everybody with health insurance coverage.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think it's a right. I'm not going to get into that debate, but a lot of people feel that that's a right, that was a lot, I believe, behind Obama's thinking behind this bill. But the cost is the real problem. I think we have great health care here as far as, the delivery system. But as far as insurance, it's a problem. And there definitely needed to be some reform. I think this is an attempt. How well it's going to work, I think, is yet to be seen.
So go ahead. Since we're talking about opinions, what we read about and hear about healthcare in other countries, the way it's delivered, how it's structured, and so on. We know that in a number of countries, everybody gets healthcare, and it's just it's included because you're there, you're
right.
a citizen. Is that a viable structure? What impressions do you and your colleagues gain from the delivery of healthcare in that mode versus the mode we have here?
Well, we actually do have that type of delivery system here for over 65 people now. That's socialized medicine for Medicare. So we already have that system here. Other countries have it for the entire population. I think most people would agree that Medicare works fairly well. The problem seems to be that it's going to be difficult to maintain at the levels that it is with the funding and as so many people retiring, with the baby boomers just rolling into to retirement, the cost is going to go exponentially up.
Yeah, we know, Dave, you're a CPA. You know as well as I do about the new upcoming 3.8% investment tax that is scheduled to begin next year on investment earnings for people over generally over $200,000. My recollection was, and tell me if it was yours, that was enacted to help fund some of these government entitlement programs like Medicare, like Medicaid. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it was part of the health care bill, actually.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just part of it. And it's consistent, at least, with what the president talks about, like anyone over 250. I think really it's a 250 limit. But so anyone over that will potentially get hit with, this additional tax. Now, but you never know. I mean, they're negotiating right now.
I know.
Some of the Democrats maybe want to raise it maybe to 500. But, you know, it's all negotiation anyway. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, right now as it stands, that's what it is. And a lot of people at that dollar amount aren't liking it, I could tell. But I don't think it hits a whole lot of people. I mean, that's the only thing. I mean, that's investment income.
That's right. That's not salary.
Yeah, so, I mean, I you know, there's a lot of people, but as a CPA, I got some wealthy clients, mm-hmm. but that's a steep climb. What do you say, Blaze?
Well, how much is it going to impact it? I know Obamacare or, you know, the Affordable Care Act, however you want to refer to it. It's an expensive proposition. I mean, we're talking trillions of dollars over the 10 years, and there are some cuts in Medicare to help fund this. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I'm a believer, just like this taxing of the wealthy. I mean, fine. I'm not saying yes or no to it. I'm just saying, what is it? The numbers are like $100 billion. It's like a drop in the bucket in the big picture.
It's not a lot of money.
It's not, and so there's this all. It's a lot of talk about it, but it's not a lot of money. And I don't know. Like Dave said, I don't know how much 3.8% on investment income for people making over a certain amount is. How much is that going to really help? I think there needs to be some really significant structural changes to the whole program to figure out how to make it last for when I retire.
But so. I think what you said. Blaze was interesting, and it makes sense. The Affordable Care Act was perhaps more about access, and it makes sense. I think you're probably right, and I don't have the stats on this, and maybe you do. Maybe you could talk about this if you know about it. You know, the cost as it was right now, when people go to the hospital, they don't have insurance. The hospital has to write it off. Well, the taxpayers are still paying for it, so it's sort of an interesting situation. Is there anything you could say about that in terms of, you know, having this type of program in place versus creating more cost to the taxpayers anyway? It's almost like a tax indirectly. Cost is cost. You could call it tax. You could call it write-offs, and more people have to pay tax to fund the government because of the tax breaks of the hospitals.
Well, that's a very good analogy that the taxes, I mean, just the Supreme Court decision, which really kind of paved the way for the individual mandate to be approved. They called it a tax. It's not a penalty. It is a tax.
Right.
And it was not enforceable under the Commerce Clause. And there were some things in there that, impacted just what you're saying. It is a tax. There's no doubt about it. And I'm just not sure because of the way that it's structured, that the intent of the bill to get, you know, the access is there, but it's still unaffordable. It should, you know, maybe the Unaffordable Care Act. It just came to my head. It's terrible to say that. But although it does give access, and if these exchanges that they're supposed to be setting up state by state are in place, the exchanges is where people can get subsidies. If these exchanges aren't set up in time, and we have an attorney that we've retained that he's very skeptical whether they'll be in place when they're supposed to be on 2014.
Yeah, okay. 2014.
Wow, a good start to a great program. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after these words.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
And now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins. You have a great firm, a family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory when we started. He always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe Collins and Collins, great family law attorneys and more.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is Money Management, Wounded Hearts, and Family Crisis, starring Larry Moscat. And Larry, this is a fascinating talk today.
Important.
Because it's, I mean, you hear so many different things, this is good that we're hearing our expert today.
That's right.
Blaise Byrne from Arizona Benefits Consultants. This is good just to get more information.
It really is.
And see what's
we
up.
We need to know about it.
We need to have an asterisk by expert. This is such a moving
target.
I mean, new regulations, new guidance coming out from HHS all the time.
Sure.
And I feel like I'm back in college, really. Mm-hmm. It's really a investment in time and energy to understand this.
Sure.
Bill, it's large.
Yes, that's modesty and expertise, Dave Isaac.
Oh, that's good qualities.
Very good qualities, and that's what we have here today. We're visiting with Blaise Byrne. He's an employee benefits consultant and broker for benefits, and he works with Arizona Benefits Consultants, and he's trying his best to tell us what he knows.
Yeah.
About the upcoming changes in healthcare laws, insurance, and the entire landscape of healthcare delivery in this country. We have an awful lot to cover, but I want to invite our listeners to give us a call and pose their questions to the phone number 602-296-3632. If you have a question about the new act, Obamacare, what it may mean to you, give us a call, 602-296-3632. Dave, let's go back and visit a little bit more with our in-house expert today, Blaise Byrne. Talk some more about this upcoming act and what it's going to mean for both of us. You know, in addition to health insurance that we've been talking a lot about, there are also a couple of other healthcare delivery systems, as Blaise had mentioned earlier, that are both enormous in size and cost. And I'm referring to Medicare and Medicaid. And I wonder, Blaise, maybe you could give the ultra brief explanation of what each of those are. But beyond that, what changes might those affected by these programs, what might they expect to be seeing here in the future under the new rules?
Part of the Affordable Care Act dealt with Medicaid, and there was in the Supreme Court decision that upheld the individual mandate as a tax, The other portion of that was, you know, trying to get the states to take on more Medicaid people, and the government, the federal government, was going to pay up to like 90% of that, or maybe even 90 to 100% the first year, and then they were going to pick up a big chunk.
And Medicaid, just to introduce, for those who've heard the term, maybe don't really know what it means, it's welfare. It's health care for those who are on welfare, for the indigent.
Like Access in Arizona?
Access is actually a joint federal and state-run program. But that's the idea, yes. It's for people that are indigent and have no way to get health care any other way.
Right.
So these programs will be going through major changes, won't be going through many.
Well, it's going to be on a state-by-state basis, depending on, you know, if the governor, or legislature. I'm not quite sure exactly how that all works, but I know the governor has a big say in that as to how if they're going to take on this additional liability, so to speak, of covering more people under Medicaid. Mm-hmm. And the federal government would be subsidizing a large chunk of that and then slowly wean off. And so the state's concern seemed to be that they if they get into this, then they're going to be have a big expense down the road that they're kind of afraid to step into. Mm-hmm. But there was the other part of the federal I was about to say on the Supreme Court decision was that the federal government could not force them to take this on. They had to they couldn't take away the funding, the Medicaid funding that they already had. It was, basically having the hammer over their head to do it their way or the highway.
Sure. It's interesting. You spoke just now about certain electives that the governor may take in one direction or another. And I hear an awful lot about this term I'm going to ask you about. And I really don't know what it means. We hear about states opting in or opting out of partnerships related to health care. What in the world are they talking about? And what do you and your fellow health care insurance-minded colleagues think about which way our state should go?
Well, there's a lot of different there's more than one thing that they can opt in and out of, but one of them is the exchanges. Do they want the state to run it, or do they want the federal government to run their exchange?
And the exchange, what is the exchange?
Well, the exchange is it's a website per se. It's a delivery system for those without health insurance to go and buy health insurance if you're an individual. And if you qualify for a subsidy, which is part of the bill as well, if you're up to 400% above the poverty level, there's subsidies available to you. Obviously, the closer you are to the end, it phases out to zero at some point. But the only way to get your subsidy is to go through an exchange. There's no other way for the government to track that. Mm-hmm. So the exchange is basically a place to go buy health insurance.
Is that for everyone, or
it's for individuals and for some small businesses?
Mm. You can go. Now, what? How does a person like you and your colleagues fit into that? I'm someone looking for coverage. I go to a website. I pick some things. I don't have the benefit of a professional to tell me what these choices really mean.
We're waiting on guidance for that. Mm-hmm. We're waiting to see if they'll allow us to help our clients. Mm-hmm. Obviously, whether we can get a fee for that or if there's a commission from the insurance company, as it typically works right now. We don't know for certain on that. We hope that we're going to be able to, help our clients understand, navigate through this system, because it's going to be very challenging and it's going to be a whole new place for them to be. It's going to be new for us,
Now, Blaze, is this for people who don't have insurance at all, or is it for literally everyone who needs to sort of re-up in the new system?
Well, it is a place for individuals primarily. I think some small business, there's these are under 50 employees that could go there. And because there's some subsidies available for them, but it's more unlimited. It's going to be more for individuals than anything. So if you're buying an individual policy from Blue Cross or Humana right now, you can go to their website, apply online, get approved, and, you know, it'll be something I would imagine similar to that. Although there'll be additional questions. You know, they'll ask about your income, and then you can see if you can qualify for a subsidy. So that's pretty much how it will work.
So this is interesting. Do you feel then that this will impact a lot of people, not only like yourself, but there's a lot of people that sell health insurance? Is that going to cut them out of the whole ball game? Now you can go on the website and go, well, here's one, and I can. It's like a menu.
That's
sort of
correct.
Sounds.
Well, we're not sure, but we're hopeful that they're going to allow us to continue because we still think there's value in someone advising them where to go and helping them, you know, understand the whole process. But we don't know that for certain. We're hopeful, and there seems to be indication that that's going to be the case, that we're going to be able to continue to work with our clients and, you know, get you know, some type of compensation for doing that.
It just might, unfortunately, lower people's, well, population and who you can sell to, I guess.
Correct. Yeah. There's some concern about that, yeah.
Wow, that's
interesting.
Yeah, that is. It sort of wipes out, not wipes out, but it really restricts a whole industry. And that sounds, I don't think it sounds the best.
I'll tell you what it reminds me of. It reminds me of the difference in people who are investors. Some people are do-it-yourself investors. They go to websites.
Yeah.
They look at investments. They make choices. They make purchases. They manage those accounts. And then there are those who just say, this is not my thing. I don't even know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
The beta, the alpha, the what? It strikes me that the issue of healthcare would be similar to that, it's very technical. You don't want to make a mistake.
Mm-mm.
You don't want to find that you checked the wrong box or you didn't understand something the way it was intended, and all of a sudden you have a problem of some sort.
But you're right, Larry. I think some people are perfectly comfortable doing their investments themselves, and they're somewhat, or at least they feel they're somewhat knowledgeable, and it's going to be the same thing on the health insurance side. People that are knowledgeable enough about it, they've had it at work, and there's going to be those that have no clue, and they're going to need our help, and we're hoping that we're going to still be able to provide that.
Sure.
And I'm hopeful that we will. And there seems to be some indication that that's going to be the case. It's probably going to be on a much lower fee schedule, or that's just part of what you have to prepare for being in the business.
And then once again, maybe it shakes out the lower end of this industry, the people that aren't quite as sophisticated like you are, Blaze. Well, and maybe that's a good thing, too.
Yeah. There's no doubt, Dave. I think that's a great point. And it's already impacted as the timeline that I was referring to earlier has started to progress. You've got a lot, you know, commissions have been adjusted, and some of the smaller guys have decided, hey, maybe there's something else I can do, or they get attached to a larger agency like ours, and you know, where they've got more resources and availability to, you know, knowledge.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting.
Interesting. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to ask you, Blaze, something that crossed my mind, and I wondered if these changes will have anything to do with this. For many years, just being around you, and even though I'm in financial services, the area Blaze Byrne works in is a very hyper specialty area, and I'm one of those guys that, even though I may be around the business and in the business, if I need healthcare advice, I'm going to seek the advice of a Blaze Byrne,
no doubt,
or someone at Arizona Benefits Consultants for that type of thing, but. For years, I've heard friends and colleagues who are in the same business talk about healthcare plans that are either self-funded or fully insured plans. And I have, at best, a very general sense of what that is. What are the differences between those, Blaze? And will there be any changes in that landscape because of the new laws?
That's a great question, Larry. There is a difference, and especially in the healthcare reform bill, between self-funded and fully insured. We happen to be an agency that we've got a couple of people, you know, in our office that I think are some of the best in the Southwest, mm-hmm. if not the country, when it comes to, you know, self-funding and partially self-funding. This typically is, you know, with companies 100-plus employees. Mm-hmm. We usually have not looked at self-funding. However,
would you put a definition to that? What exactly does that mean?
Okay, so fully insured would be the insurance company is taking full responsibility for everything.
Okay.
You pay them your premium monthly, and they take care of all the claims administration.
The risk monkey is 100% off your back.
There's zero risk on the employer other than paying his premium every month. On the self-funded side, you can get as, you know, for the very large companies, you know, they could take the whole risk on themselves and then just have a company that would administer claims. Hmm. Typically, we're working with the size companies, you know, under a couple of thousand, more typically in the hundreds. They will buy stop loss insurance to cover a specific amount of loss on each employee. So we've got a company with 250 employees, and they have a stop loss on each employee, a specific stop loss on each employee of $100,000.
So the
employer is picking up the first $100,000 on each employee. Mm-hmm. Once it hits that, if it gets to that point, then the reinsurance kicks in, the specific stop loss kicks in on that individual, and then the insurance is covering anything above that.
And how do you calculate that? I mean, I know it's all risk and reward and cost benefit. And if you think about it, is like, is it really rolling the dice? Like, I mean, how do they come up with, let's say, $100,000? Are they entitled to do a complete physical exam for every employee? Is that constitutional,
right,
or how does that work?
The inner workings of the plan look exactly the same to an employee. They've got their prescription card, and they got their medical ID the card. They still have a deductible of 1,000, and then it's 80-20, or they've got a copay when they go see the office. Everything else inside the plan looks exactly the same. You've got an administration company, a third party administrator, or an insurance company that will, you know, that's doing the specific stop loss will have their own inside administration company, and they run the reports, and we'll talk monthly with our clients or quarterly with our clients, depending on the size, and we get reports that show us where every employee's claim is. You know, this family might have zero, this one's getting close to the stop loss, and so the employer, all the employer pays is the fixed cost, which is to do the administration. So there's administration and all the inner workings of running the plan, paying me, and then you've got the claims. And that's a variable amount. You don't know what those claims are going to be.
But the employer is up to $100,000. They have to pay it, right?
Right, up to $100,000. Right. Now, they also have what's called a aggregate stop loss. That's a sleep at night insurance, so that if things get totally out of you, you've got, you know, eight people that are at $80,000, and they haven't hit the specific stop loss, but you're still hemorrhaging money. This will step in the insurance company will step in once you get to this. We come up, they calculate a maximum claims amount for the year for you.
And then so that's interesting. So does the government have, or the state, I don't know if it'd be the state or feds, would they have some type of mandate about having regulations on funding that you, because the last thing you want is an employer that can't afford that first $100,000.
Right.
There's got to be some legal issues.
That's part of our consulting job is to, you know, number one, you want to be a financially stable company to be able to get into one of these agreements.
But is there a law where you have to set it aside and unused in an escrow account where you need to know that that money is available?
They typically do it that way. They'll have an account, and when there's claims, they'll come and draw from it, you know, and then so they'll have an account set up, and then the administrator who's paying the claims will just come in and draw the money, and they'll pay the doctors. And, yeah, you do need – now, you can set up budgeting-type items where this is the max we're going to take out each month. This is the maximum we can take from you each month. So there's ways to put in budgeting agreements into the plan so that you don't get blown up and a company doesn't go out of business because they can't pay.
But no government regulations on.
Well, sure, there's government. ERISA's involved in. There's a lot of government regulation in
that's
that
why you're very much needed.
Right,
and,
absolutely.
And that was my point, Dave.
Exactly.
That was my point earlier. The guy that goes to the website has never even heard of a self-funded plan or.
No, it's anything. A nightmare. It's very complex.
Yeah, so I'm advisor biased, I suppose, because this is complex stuff.
We love you, Blaze.
Well,
this is very difficult, and I'm glad
really
you're
is.
Around. I got to tell
there,
you,
there are a lot of different things to understand about self-funded. But one of the advantages to it is in this health care reform bill is that they're exempt from a lot of the provisions of the health care law, including a lot of the taxes that are in there. So they're going to be. At this point, you know, until things change, they're going to be much more competitive on the larger cases than a fully insured plan.
That's where you come in, then.
Absolutely.
Wow. Oh, I like that a lot.
I like that. That's interesting. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. We have Blaze Byrne here from Arizona Benefits Consultants. He's going to tell us all we want to know about Obamacare and more. Stay tuned.
Now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins, you have a great firm, a family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory when we started. He always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe Collins and Collins, great family law attorneys and more.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And if it is the fourth Tuesday of the month from 2 to 3, it is Money Management, Wounded Hearts, and Family Crises, starring Larry Moscout, RIIA. This is most fascinating. We need a part 2, 3, and maybe 4. This is very important, and we... I don't think we even touched on, because of limited time, even businesses, 50, over, under 50...
We should.
Some of those things. I think it's invaluable for people because really not many people know about this stuff, but we have in studio Blaze Byrne, Arizona Benefits Consultants, who does know, and I'm very excited, and thank you for being here once again.
I'm glad to be here. You know, it's funny you guys mentioned the 50. It's kind of the Mason-Dixon line, so to speak, for health care reform. And right after the Supreme Court decision, we held a seminar down at the Biltmore for all of our clients that could make it, and you know, went over a lot of, because there's a lot of fear and misunderstanding, and I'm still learning on this. There's going to be more learning to be done.
There'll be changes, probably.
Right, and we have weekly agency-wide meetings. We know that we have to be experts because our clients are going to need to know the answers, and they have a lot of fear, and our job is to take care of them, obviously. But on the 50, that's a big benchmark. Now, number one, you're going to need to determine if your company is fit. You know, if you're 50 or more, you've got to pay or play Obamacare. And this is the time to start putting in what's called a measurement period for your business if you're around 50. And it's full-time, 50 full-time equivalents, which means there's going to be a calculation with your part-time people. So you may have 40 full-timers, and you go, well, then I'm fine. I'm under 50. Well, you're not, because you know, if you've got a bunch of part-timers, they're going to add up all of their hours on a monthly basis and divide it by 130. So they're going to and then you're going to come up with a number that's going to give you your full-time equivalents. So if that bumps you up over the 50, then you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to pay or play. When I say pay or play, I mean you can say, oh, I'm not going to have health insurance coverage, and then you're going to pay the tax. Or you're going to have a minimum essential benefit plan that the government decides that you have to have to be exempt from paying the tax. So, but for those of you that your employer groups that are under 50, and, you know, assuming you go through this measurement period, I would suggest people start one from about right now till the end of 2013, then you can determine, hey, I'm definitely under 50. I'm exempt from Obamacare, and I don't have to, even if I drop my insurance, I don't even have to, you know, I don't have to pay anything.
Now, if let's say someone under 50, a business, and the listeners out, or, you know, listening right now should really pay attention to this question. If they do drop it, let's say they had health insurance and they say, well, we don't have to play anymore because we're under 50 full-time equivalent employees, that doesn't relieve the liability to the individual mandate. They still have to get health insurance or pay a tax, right?
Right. And basically what the employer is telling them, I mean, now, as an employer, I got to believe that they want to attract and retain their key people. They're probably not going to drop it.
Yeah, I would.
They may or may not. There may be some that really need to, but yeah, they would be able to. These people would have to go to the exchange. They can buy outside of the exchange, but if they have a subsidy coming, they certainly want to go through the exchange.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, what the employer, you know, the employer may say, give them some kind of benefit other than, you know, he doesn't have to, but he could give them some benefit in lieu of health insurance, and says, hey, go to the exchange and buy your insurance. And if there's some subsidies available to them, they can qualify for subsidies there. So, you know, another thing a lot of people are confused about is the W-2 requirements. How, you know, do we have to put the cost of my health insurance, or the employer's gross cost of the health insurance on my W-2? If the employer's issuing more than 250 W-2s in a year, yes, they do. They have to list, there's a new box on the W-2 where they have to list the cost, the gross cost, not, you know, if there's any cost sharing, the IRS doesn't really care about that. They have to put that on their W-2s that they issue. There's no tax consequence at this time. That's just for informational purposes. But if you're if you issue less than 250 W-2s, you don't have to do anything. Over 250, you got to put that in the box.
You know, I think we should change the name of this reform bill to the Full-Time CPA Employment Act.
Right. So, yeah. It's going to impact your business, obviously.
I mean, more work, and it's not easy, some of the stuff. The complexities with like we were talking on the break about the credit with under 50 employees, if they do have health insurance, they can take a credit for, I think, another year or so.
Right. Well, the one thing that, you know, first you've got that test to find out, you know, which I would suggest, you can use 3, 6, 12 months. This is called the measurement period. You want to measure right now whether you have how many full timers you have. You know, when January 1, 2014 comes along, because at that point, you know, if you have all of the people that are considered part time in your population, you don't have to cover benefits for. Number one, you got to determine if you're over 50. That's right. One test. The second test is for this measurement period is to determine how many real full-timers I have. And you only have to cover the full-timers. The part-timers you're still not going to be responsible for.
Interesting. Mm. Wow. A lot of stuff, Larry.
A lot of stuff. You know, and another thing, we're talking about exemptions and people that have to be included or have the option to be excluded. I came upon an article that reminded me that in all of the noise we've heard about these new upcoming laws, there are those that feel they should be exempt from a number of the provisions in there. And there was a university in Virginia called Liberty University that was founded by Jerry Falwell, and they had gone to court to ask to be excluded based on religious principles from certain provisions of the new laws. And Blaze, have you heard about these things? And
I did recently hear about, just I think yesterday, heard about the Liberty case, and I thought I heard that the Supreme Court is seriously considered hearing it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I did hear about. I mean, I don't have a lot of information other than I just heard that yesterday that they're going to definitely listen to that.
Yes,
or they're considering taking that on.
I remember hearing too, and I don't remember the particulars. And maybe you know more about these, Blaze.
It has more to do with the it's the birth control question.
Yes, yeah. That's what I
heard. The religious freedom forcing them to do something that they're religious faith is against what their religious faith believes.
Yeah.
So that's that's where the question is. So that's they're talking like that could go to the Supreme Court to get some exemptions for religious hospitals, colleges, universities, things like this.
Sure.
Yeah. Hmm. But that's what that Liberty case is primarily dealing with, the religious freedom part of it, the abortion, birth control.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, those are the things I heard about. Interesting, complicated stuff. I'd like to take a minute and just talk about something I, again, had read about, and that's mostly how I've come into most of my information. It had to do with efforts to relieve Medicaid from certain of the long-term care costs that they're shouldering, because Medicaid does bear an awful lot of long-term care costs, and long-term care costs are monies paid for things like home health care or home-based or facility-based services for elderly, chronically ill individuals, people who aren't able to feed themselves, dress themselves, and so on. And there was a portion of the law, I understand, it was called the Class Act. And we're familiar with that here or not. And it stood for Community Living Assistance Services and Support Act. And it was designed essentially to provide insurance that was run by the government, paid for by consumers, to fund a variety of long-term care services. And the goal, again, was to reduce financial pressures on Medicaid. That was my read of it. But it turns out that it looks like the plan is not financially viable. And as some of the critics are saying, if you had gotten just a couple of the best insurance minds in the country together, they could have addressed that question and told them that months and months and months ago. But Blaze, have you heard much in this new law about how, if at all, the rules
At first I thought they were talking about you, called the Class Act. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Well, I do got to say this about Larry, because we're actually working on a joint case at the moment. He is an extreme specialist when it comes to long-term care you know, coverage and you know, all the different vehicles and chassis that these can run on. Sorry, Larry, I just had to do that little plug for you. To get back to that, there was a provision in the Affordable Care Act to deal with this long-term care thing. They determined it was not affordable, and they stripped it out. It's been stripped. It's completely taken out of the bill. The cost was astronomical. I mean, actuarially, you know, Larry, how long-term care, you know, type products are struggling with rate increases. And, you know, I've just recently had a mother who passed away, but she was she went through all of her long-term care benefits that we had provided, but it was a lifesaver. Yeah. Lifesaver.
Yeah, I have been a major proponent for long-term care insurance. I've seen it up close and personal in my family. I've seen it up close and personal in my clients' families, and I'm a big believer where it's appropriate. There are circumstances where it's not appropriate, but if it is appropriate, it is definitely something to look into. People haven't gotten it because they don't like it, and they feel like they don't like the use it or lose it approach that the old style of long-term care chassis offered. But there are new ones. We've talked about them here on the show, David.
And they should go to breakradioshow.com under archives. Look under money management, and they will hear some of the great information, Larry, that you've talked about over the last months.
Sure. Yeah, it's very interesting. I'm a big believer, and as Blaze said, he's had it in his family. I've had it in mine. And the only thing worse than going through it is going through it and having to pay out of pocket dollar for dollar for those costs. It's brutal.
Right. Just like you need an expert in the health insurance field, you need an expert in the long-term care field.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And a good CPA.
Okay. All right.
Of course. Yeah. What can I say?
There you go.
I'm not modest. All right. Wow, this show has just flown by. I think we only have a few minutes left. Maybe we should give out some contact information. Blaze, I'm not kidding. People should call you.
Absolutely.
I would love to have the opportunity to work with any of your listeners. I'm available at Arizona Benefit Consultants. We're located at 24th and Lincoln, 6245 North 24th Parkway. We're in Suite 201. My phone number is 602-956-5515, and my extension is 107.
Wow, that is invaluable. I got to tell you, people should call you, and I'm sure
I might as well go ahead and throw in my email address as well.
Sure.
It's B. Byrne, which is BBYRNE at ABCLLC.org.
Wow, this is excellent, Larry. What a great guest you have pulled off once again. You're a miracle worker.
I'm fortunate to know some really talented people, Dave.
There is no doubt about it. And Larry, you should give out your information because between you two, you can control the world. That's what I'm thinking.
Everything you want to know about me can be found at my website, www.riiadvisors.com.
Wow, this is Blaze, you got a few things.
Our website is www.abcllc.org as well.
Oh, I love that, abcllc.org.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that was available, huh?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
Dot com wasn't available. That's why we're .org.
Yeah, but that's still great. ABC, LLC. I'm never going to forget that one.
No, you never will. No. I never have.
Yeah, I always have to spell all my websites out, like, real carefully. Well, this wraps up another episode of Money Management, Wounded Hearts, and Family Crisis. Blaze, thank you so much for coming on today.
Glad to be here. Really enjoyed it.
I want to get you back because I think we just touched on it, and there's more to come.
I think a great session could be on self-funding alone.
Oh, I'm really interested in
partially
that.
Self-funding.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting thing. Larry, always a pleasure.
Same
we'll
here,
talk
Dave.
To you next time, and everyone have a great night. And guess where I'm going tonight?
Tell me.
I'm part of the media at Gamage, and Donnie and Marie are in town.
Oh,
the Christmas show.
Christmas show.
There we go. What can I say? And
grew up with them.
Oh, yeah. I like them. They're very talented. Anyway, everyone have a great night. See you tomorrow. Breakthrough Sports from 2 to 4. All the latest sporting events we will talk about, including the city of Glendale, with the Phoenix Coyotes. Well, have a good night.
FamilyValuesRadio.net.
1010 K.